Welcome to Talk About Talk with Shanti Niven and Desiree Luthi. Shanti and Desiree are professional speakers and trainers of world-class speakers and anyone who wants to improve their oral communication skills and their lives. Listen in as they share their captivating speaker secrets over morning coffee. Tune in weekdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Good morning and welcome to our Talk About Talk show for Monday morning. And this is quite a challenge for us always because we have to get up early in the morning and be bright and chipper and on top of it have our brains in gear and come up with all this stuff to help you improve your speaking skills. So that's what we're here doing. We're having morning coffee. Well, I'm not this morning, but we're over morning coffee. We're chatting in a casual and informal way, but we're going to be giving you some really great nuggets on how to get to be a better speaker.
Captivating speaker.
Yes. And that's why our topic for this today, this week, maybe even the next couple weeks, because this is such an important topic in part of communicating, and that is choosing your words wisely. Picking the right words and how to use them to make them most effective.
And not just choosing your words wisely, because you've been hearing that since you were a little kid. Your mother says, you know,
true.
Be careful about what you say. And
to illustrate, I'm going to tell a little story quickly. Some of you may know it, but it really is a story about what we're talking about. A woman once spread some malicious gossip about a friend. She said something. It was just one thing. And the gossip spread through the village. And it was devastating for her friend, and she became ridden with guilt, and really felt bad about what she had done. And finally, she went to one of the elders in the village and said, "I've done this terrible thing, and I don't know how to take it back. I don't know what to do. I need to get help." And he said, "Come with me." And he took her up into the highest, tallest tower in the village, and they climbed all the way to the top. And then he said, "Write what you wrote, what you said, onto this piece of paper." And so she did. And then he tore it into, seemed to be thousands of little pieces, tiny little pieces. And she was smiling as she was anticipating what he was doing. And then he threw the pieces over the top of the tower, and she watched them all fluttering down like a million little white moths. They just flew all over the village, and she could see these little pieces settling. And she said to the elder, "Well, thank you." And he said, "When you have collected every last piece of paper, then the damage of your words will be undone." Because really what he was trying to tell her is that once you set off in motion words, and it gets stories, gets told from person to person to person, it spreads. There's almost no way to undo that damage. And so though she could go and express her sorrow to her friend, and I'm sure there is forgiveness to be had for that, but when you say something, the ramifications of your words can spread in infinite ways, can change our direction, can change the way, just think about it, you could say something to somebody that could change the course of their lives. That is the power of our words. You could motivate someone to do something different. You could also destroy somebody's dream by saying something negative. So the words we use and the words we choose have immense power to change people's lives and to change our own, because whatever we say comes out of the thought that we first have. And if we say something, we set it into motion. It's a very, very powerful philosophy.
Absolutely. And it either brings about an emotion or a memory, which can trigger an emotion. And I find that with speaking as well. While we're trying to connect with people's words and what they're trying to say to us, we're constantly either viewing our memories or emotions that are connected with those words. And that's why it can be very hurtful and damaging, like Shanti just illustrated in that story, how words can spread, and even more so on social media, because it's not something you may have heard. It's something that you can see and is always around. It's there all the time. So it's always being aware and careful of what you're saying in any form of communicating.
So what we're going to be talking about today is not just the impact that words have, because there is plenty of research to prove that the spoken word, even on a and I don't want to sound new age here, but on a vibrational level, on a spiritual level, that words actually do have an immense power on ourselves, on a cellular level, on so many different things, and we'll go into that a little bit. But we also want to speak about how to be taken seriously as a speaker, because that's our business. When you get up in front of an audience and you speak, or you are being interviewed, or whatever it is that you're doing where you're speaking is on show. Let's say you're going for an interview. Whatever it may be, when you speak, people are judging you by your words. And so you've got to be careful of using things like filler words. The ums are famous.
They dilute your speech, and that's why we try to help people remove them. Saying even our president is famous for his us. And you can check out these videos on YouTube just to get a better understanding so you can hear out for them. Because it's so important to start removing those from your vocabulary. And we're not, you know, we're humans, we're not perfectionists here. And so if one or two slip in to your speech, that is okay. That's normal. We're talking about when your words are overloaded, your sentences, your phrases, your stories are overloaded with these filler words, and it dilutes your speech. And that's what we want to remove, is just for you to be aware and also listening out for other people's filler words as well.
And for this show, actually, today, the focus of today, and this show is for listeners who tune in for whatever reason to listen to our show over the last, our listenership has grown, but also for our Club Captivate members. And our challenge is really to go back to basics and to remove. Is there such a word? And I'm thinking about early this morning, is unpopulate. If you populate something, how about, what is the reverse of, how do you depopulate or unpopulate? I have to figure that one out. Okay, so what we need to do is try to imagine that when you speak, you're throwing out seeds into a garden, into a fertile soil, and that's what you're doing. Now, hopefully those seeds are good seeds, and they're going to lead to good plants, trees, and flowers, and you're going to populate your garden with beautiful things, because that's the purpose of the word. Every time you throw in an or an or a you know, or a like, and in other parts of the world, I remember in South Africa, I had a really good friend who used to say basically, and I thought, if you say basically one more time, I'm going to be ill. She used to say basically.
My favorite is, let me be honest with you here. be honest.
I forgot about that one.
Can I be honest with you, Shanti?
I've got my crutches as well. We all do. And I'll tell you what it is. It actually just spares us the harrowing task of having to think. I'm sorry, I got distracted by Desiree carrying a tea bag around. I was wondering, where is she putting that tea bag? She's holding the tea bag. And so, I've just used it myself.
So.
We tend to use these filler words to avoid from having to think, because it is hard work to have to think and speak. And so what the brain does is develop almost a default language. And if you're not careful, that default language starts to sound as though you're not very smart.
Am I going to say one after she just says, we're not smart? And then I'm going to go, Shanti. I'm very smart, Shanti. That's how I felt right now.
Well, that's one of the problems, because the moment you identify it, I've done it myself, this problem is viral. It really is. Mm. People speak to you, and I hear it especially with kids. Now, we're speaking with kids, and
I catch on to it. It is, it's like virus, and I catch on. It's contagious, and I start feeling it. I start saying it, like especially.
Yes. And it seems to me that I have adopted and so.
Because you always talk about those professors.
Yes, that's right. Now I've so. Because I say that the professors and all the people, the academics tend to start their sentences with "and so."
And here you are, as an academic.
Maybe I'm trying to be all very academic in this. No, but film stars, when they're accepting their awards, you'll see them in their the acceptance speeches using the I'm very happy to accept this award. What an honor. And I want to thank my mother and my father and sister. Okay, we know how that sounds. But Here's the thing. If you listen to our President Obama, he is a great speaker, and I've actually heard him speak with great fluidity and poise and virtually hardly use a filler word.
Yep.
But when he's in a situation where he's been asked an uncomfortable question,
I don't know what to say. We get it. We've all been there, and that's where preparation is so important when you're getting ready to speak. But it happens, and like we said, these filler words are not a big deal if you're using a few here and there. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up over them, but it's important to be aware that you're using them, but it's just understanding and removing, especially in off-the-cuff speaking interview style, to remove them in those situations because they become so common because usually those are the times when you're not prepared and you need more time to think about the answer, but it's okay. It's okay to pause. It's okay to sit there, think about it, collect your thoughts. I like to say collect, gather, and then go.
A good one.
PGG.
Kat, who's part of our team and a very beloved part of our team, she stops and she thinks and she pauses. And she has a quaint way of speaking because of that. I would rather have that kind of speaking, where you're deliberating and speaking that way, than to have somebody just use Now, don't get me wrong, folks. An occasional is not something dreadful. It's not something you're going to go to jail for. It's not an unpardonable crime. All we're trying to say is to start trying to weed out, in other words, the analogy that I used of the garden. When the weeds crop up, what do? You pluck them out.
That's right.
But we're going to give you a method to do that, because it's fine and well saying pluck out your filler words. I find it difficult myself because once I'm listening to the kids that use like every 5 seconds, it started creeping into my vernacular. I've never used it my whole life, but it started creeping in because when you're dealing with kids, you pretty much become part of it.
And kids aren't the only culprits either.
No, they're not.
Adults are definitely just as guilty.
Yes, and when you hang around people like Desiree.
Yes, it's true. Start to catch on.
But she catches on to me too. So there's little things that...
And so. So how do we remove them? There's a few ways.
Well, the first way that I'm going to give you as a method and the challenge for everybody this week is you have to record yourself. Because the first step to becoming proficient is knowing that you do it. And a lot of people don't even know what they're saying. Here's what I would like you to do. We are developing an app ourselves for spontaneous questions, and we're working on that, and when it's ready, we will be posting it up, and it'll shoot out a spontaneous question. But in the meantime, you can use, there are some apps and programs online, free of charge. Shoot one out at me, Desiree.
Well, there's several apps. I like to just Google questions, you know, thought-provoking questions online. You can Google these. Or there's an app called freetabletopics.com that also is a question generator. But Google any websites that ask you any questions.
You can use that in the meantime until we've developed our app, which
yes, exactly.
We'll have. The problem, freetabletopics.com I love. It's a simple, very, very simple program. You click a button, it generates a topic. You set a timer and you've got a certain time to complete the answer. It's pretty simple. Some of the questions are not open-ended questions. And
you can answer yes or no even, yeah. That's true.
I know it. You know, and I would like to really provide questions that provide food for thought. Because when we say is when we're thinking.
Yeah.
Now, you'll notice when you ask somebody, I'll say to Desiree, what did you eat on Friday night? There we go.
See, no, I did that on purpose. But it's because I knew what she was trying to get to, and now I really don't remember what I had on Friday night.
When you have to access a memory, that's most often when people will say the word Try it out for yourself. Okay, here's what to do. Generate a question. Immediately begin speaking. This is a twofold skill that we're going to ask you to develop. Number one is to learn to think on your feet. Here is the tip. Do not try to answer the question right away. Start with a story. Start with an anecdote. Start with a joke. Whatever the question may be, and let's give it a try. Let's try a question for Desiree. Let's see if I can generate one for you.
All right.
Okay, we'll generate one. What is your number one goal for the next 6 months?
To take over the world.
Okay. Desiree just broke the rule. She answered the question. Now, what I want you to do is to do it, let's do it differently. I'm going to ask you another topic. And what we need you to do first is to tell a story that gets to the answer at the end. That's the trick. If you want to speak, and you've got to speak for a minimum of 1 minute. The reason we're showing you this and we're demonstrating by poor example, if you...
Actually, more poor example would be directly answering the question. It would say, within the next 6 months, I plan to da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Okay, that would be... Now, there's nothing wrong with that. People use that to stall for an answer, and it's okay if you have to answer a question as a beauty pageant winner. But for the purpose of this particular exercise, we want you to get into the practice of telling a story that illustrates first. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with answering the question first. We're doing it this way to retrain your brain into thinking a different way. And I'm going to try another topic. What's something most people don't know about you?
Let's hear it, Shanti. Go.
She turned it back on me.
No. We both could do it.
Okay. Do you want to go or should I go?
Sorry, no, I forgot the question. Would you repeat
what
the question?
What is something that most people don't know about you? Now, you see what she's doing is thinking, which is very important. You are allowed to think. You do not have to speak, and that is one of the biggest problems that people have. We've demonstrated yet another principle, is that we think we have to speak straight away. So people say to me, well, how much time do you have? Because they get into the state of panic that if I don't speak soon, people are going to think this or think that, or I'm going to look foolish. But the mere thought, that panicked thought is going to stall your thinking process. Become present, become mindful, breathe, and let this sentence or this question trigger some memory within you. And you could be talking about any memory that you have. Or you could start with a joke and say, that's confidential information. And then talk about something else. Do you hear what I said? Okay, Desiree, let's try that.
Ready? And now I'm ready. I'll never forget the time that I first saw it.
What?
It was disgusting. It was gooey, and it was all over everything. It was called cheese. Cheese is my least favorite food of all time, and not too many people know this because I love pizza, but I have a hatred for cheese.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't know what, because Desiree and I get on incredibly well, but this is where we differ. I love cheese.
Disgusting.
Well, we just learned something about Desiree, and we've demonstrated a few little principles. Number one, you do not have to feel the need to speak immediately. It is okay to gather your thoughts and to think. While you're doing that, you don't have to be looking frantically from left to right or your eyes darting around all over the place. Smile at your audience. Be present. You can appear to be thinking, and there's no problem. People don't have a problem with you thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid using the first word being because that is so common that people answer with an Second thing is record yourself. Third thing is to listen to that recording and to jot down every filler word that you hear.
Yeah.
In other words, you can write a list of whatever one you've heard and then how many times you used it, because your goal from then on is to begin to reduce those filler words. First of all, to look at the ones that you use the most, and clearly from today's show, and I do apologize for all the coughing and sputtering I seem to have this morning. I don't know what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like you know, are the most common.
They've got to go.
And they've just got to go. So, like you know, has got to go. Like we teach our kids in school.
Mm.
We do a song like that. Write them down, how many you've done, and continue to do this day after day after day, and weeding them out, bringing them down, becoming aware.
But I also find, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Shanti, but I also find that it helps to listen to other speakers. When you're going out, whether it be the supermarket or with your friends, family, coworkers, listen to how they're speaking. Listen very active listening. Take every word that they're saying and listen very closely. What words are they choosing? Are they adding in filler words? Start marking them down. Don't let them know that you're doing this. Just kind of take mental note of what they're saying and becoming aware of the words that are being said around you so that you become aware of your own.
Yeah. And once you're aware of it, you actually may feel that you're getting worse.
Mm.
I think it's kind of funny in that I spoke to parents once of the kids that I was training about filler words. And then sometime later, the father was saying, I don't know what's happening since my son's been coming to your training. He's using like more than ever. It almost as if he was blaming me. Well, I had his son an hour a week, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what's happened? You're noticing it now.
Exactly.
This is what actually does happen. And obviously, I did speak to his son on the next lesson and said, okay, you know, do you think it's fair that I should be blamed that you're using filler words? And how about helping me? It was actually kind of funny. I felt it was so awkward. And I said to him, now you need to take action. Do you want to use these filler words? Because these boys are the same boys that mock the Valley Girl. And I said, what do you sound like?
The Valley Girl.
The Valley Girl. And he committed, because it does take a commitment to the process.
Mm-hmm.
The first step actually make you feel as though you've got worse. Because even as I'm teaching you and I'm aware of what I'm saying, I'm picking up those little things that creep in.
You do. You pick them up, and you also pick up different things. For example, words that they're using that may not make sense with how their body language is, which technically could be a filler word as well in a way. It's filling in what they're trying to say to make the situation sound better or feel better, and just becoming aware of the tone of voice. That's something more advanced. I know we're throwing more stuff at you, but just becoming of all the words people are using, and is it connecting? Does it connect with what they're saying? Or what they're feeling, what they're looking like, their body language. Start recognizing and being aware of those words that are happening all around you.
Well, this is one of the things I want you to be aware of as well. When I say a person's vernacular, it's almost something that people learn. We learn a collection of words. This is how the brain works. Its main function is to be energy efficient, to save energy. And it will come up with a group of words and say, this is used to express that. And once it's got that stored as this is the default, it's very difficult to bypass that.
Yes.
And you know now that every time somebody asks you this question, this is how you're going to respond, because it's taking a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if you have to retrain your brain and make new pathways and create new pathways of communication. Creating a new pattern is really difficult because you're stuck in the old pattern.
But any habit is going to be tough. Any habit is going to be tough to change, but that's why it takes practice. Are you ready to commit to this? And the funny thing is, some people, I get this with my kids, I get this with adults as well, why do I need to remove filler words? Everyone does them. It's just natural. If no one else is noticing I'm doing them, then why do I need to fix it? Do yourself a favor and just go online and watch any of the Emmys, watch any of the... basically any live TV show, and start listening to the filler words, and then you'll quickly understand why you need to start removing them.
Watch these award ceremonies, even though they're full of glamour. In the past, I used to watch them because I was fascinated about who was wearing what. It was more about the clothing. But when it got to the acceptance speeches, it really was honestly, I think to myself, what happened to that eloquent actor? I remember the King's Speech, for example, perfect example of this. Well, I've gone blank on his name now.
I know who you're talking about, the King's Speech actor.
The King's Speech actor. Google it in Desiree.
I will.
Because I had a huge crush on this man, I loved one of my favorite movies of all time, and I just love it. And if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. But it's really
Is it Colin?
Yes, Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
Yes. And he was absolutely brilliant in this movie. And yet, he was interviewed later on, and I watched the interview, and I thought, no, this is not the same person.
No.
Where is he? I need him. Because he stuttered and stammered and ummed and ahed, and it was so awkward and disconnected. He didn't seem very connected to his words. Maybe it was a very bad day on this interview, because I do believe that there have been other times where he hasn't been like that. But
It's also when you're off your guard. Then just simply don't go for an interview. So true. It's being connected. I like what you're – it's being connected and aware of what you're saying, because we understand. We get it. We're not perfect either, and I'm not saying that if I won an Emmy all of a sudden I'm up on stage, I wouldn't be so nervous that a couple wouldn't flip in there.
And that's one of the things
Desiree we get that.
Mentioned that I just wanted to interject on. We're not saying weed out every filler word.
Yes.
Impossible. And that lands up making you sound like a – We want you to speak naturally and normally
with... I can't even do it as cool as you did. I'm not even going to try.
If a filler word creeps in here and there, no big deal. But we don't want you to be speaking... Desiree, do the belly girl thing.
Like, I can't, Shanti. Like, oh, my God. You're making me... Oh, my God. It's, like, nervous. I'm nervous now.
Okay, now we have a demonstration of what we hear commonly every day here in California. And honestly, girls, stop it. You know what I think it is? It's the Kardashians. I just thought about it.
It could be, but this definitely...
Do you not think it might have had its roots in the Kardashians doing... Well, I'm saying...
I think it became more pronounced because of that, especially with the vocal fries.
Yeah.
However, definitely before, because I've been growing up with this language my entire life, and also I'm guilty of it. Well, I'll take credit. Hey, guys, it was me. I started the Valley Girl trend, and now I'm already out of it. Spreading like wildfire. Can't control it now.
Yes, you flattered your pieces of paper all over the village.
That's right. I am the original Valley Girl. I can actually say that. So, it was totally me.
Well, you see, that's exactly what could happen. Somebody started this off. Somebody thought it was cool. Somebody followed, and that's what it took to create a... movement.
Well, that's where language is so beautiful, how things have changed over the years and seeing what's become okay. There was, I'm blanking on the word now, that just became a word in the dictionary, and you were asking why? Why?
Lol.
Lol. No. Yes. LOL, laugh out loud, has now been accepted into the dictionary.
Yes. Lol. I used to think when people said this, I'm lolling about. I thought we were just lying about.
Lolling about. Now we're laughing out loud, but not really, because I type that to people all the time without LOLing, actually.
Well, I think what you're doing is you're laughing on the inside.
Then that defeats the whole point of the word. Laughing out loud.
Laughing in loud.
Laughing in loud. So then I want to know, so can we create a new word?
Well,
actually LOLing? Like, I'm actually LOLing right now. I'm actually doing
it. What about ROFL, rolling on the floor laughing?
But I'm never really doing that either.
Well, nobody does.
I call people out on that.
When did you last see somebody rolling about on the floor laughing?
I think I started calling Shanti out on this. Because I do it to everyone, but she happens to be with me, so I see her, and I'm like, I don't hear you. I don't hear you LOLing over here.
But I have had a little chuckle before.
But that qualifies. I had a chuckle. So.
As long as it's not loud. Oh, my goodness.
I do a little, it's a breath. It's a...
Yes.
Yes.
That I do, too.
That's pretty funny.
It's a sigh laugh.
It's a sigh laugh, yes.
Okay, in the following weeks, we're going to be talking about more interesting matter. This is just a start. And really, our challenge for this week is for you to really pull those weeds out of the grass, in the garden, and amongst the flowers.
That's right.
Just pull the weeds out. Speak slower.
And we have so...
Be present.
Be present, but we have so many more... Woo! We have so many more... There's just windy outside. It's crazy. We have a bunch of topics to cover, which we wanted to cover today, which we are going to go into probably over the next couple weeks, I'm assuming. Right, Shanti? All right, yes.
We've got some fantastic subjects to cover. We're just going to cover it little by little so we don't overload you with information. Today is just an easy start, a quick start, and we've officially launched our Club Captivate.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Yes. Our first meeting is tomorrow night, our first official Club Captivate meeting. We've been running our meetings and our training for a very long time, but we're officially launching this model, and it's so exciting.
And if you want to come check us out, please do so. Any of our Club Captivate meetings, you're welcome to come, but let us know if you're attending, because it is invite.
It's a closed
club. It is by invite only. And the best way to contact us would be info@shantiniven.com, shantiniven.com. I'm used to saying it, I think.
When would I ever get to the day where I won't have to spell it? Everybody would just know how that name is spelled.
That's true. It'll get there.
That's when you know you're famous.
That's right. It's going to happen soon.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. Our half hour is over already. We hope that you have a wonderful week.
Wonderful week. Hope you had a nice holiday weekend as well, whatever you're celebrating.
Yes, happy
I hope
Easter
you
to
Easter,
everybody.
Passover, whatever it is you do. Hope
and
you enjoyed it.
One of the messages that I want to leave you with this week, and that is what I said, I hope you have a great week this week. But I'm going to suggest that you make it a great week.
Ah.
And make it a great week by sowing positive words. Throwing those positive word seeds out.
On top of that, you make it a captivating week and sow those get those words out there. Spread great positive words.
Yes.
Have a captivating week. And as always,
stay
captivating.
Woo!
Very nice.